You're listening to Gardening in the Coop, the podcast all about growing your best garden. Whether you're new to gardening or you're a lifelong enthusiast, you'll find helpful gardening tips and best practices, along with real life experiences shared by me, your certified master gardener and host, Candace Godwin. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Gardening in the Coop. This episode marks the beginning of our second season, and I think that's pretty fantastic. Those last 12 months surely have seemed to fly right on by. And I'd like to give a big thanks to Baby Boomers Radio and my producer, Ed Bejarana, for making this possible. And of course to you, my dear listener, for your support and encouragement over the last year. Thank you. It's hard to believe that it's September. I know, summer isn't over yet, but it certainly did seem to go by quickly. My garden is still in full swing, thanks to our continued hot and dry weather. And for my region, that's a bit unusual. Our temperatures are usually cooler, and we generally have more rain by this time of the year. Again, I find myself trying to figure out if this is the new normal, or if it's just an abnormality. The daily harvest from my garden is bountiful. Lots of beans, an assortment of hot and sweet peppers, an eggplant. Yes, I have managed to successfully grow eggplant this year. The trick for me was putting them in containers, and they grew so much better this year. And of course, tomatoes. Lots of yummy, sweet, tangy, juicy tomatoes. It is absolutely true bliss, and we've waited all season for this moment to arrive. But I am seeing a lot of green tomatoes, and that clock is ticking. I'm not sure everything is going to ripen before that first frost hits, which could be as early as next week or September 15th for my area. And with that fall frost looming, it's time to get those summer plants into that ripening mode and bring in the harvest. And wouldn't you know it, that's our topic for today's episode, ripening and harvesting the bounty from your garden. So let's dig in. I have an abundance of green tomatoes on my plants this year, more so than usual for this time of year, and I want to share a little bit about why this is happening. First, it has to do with weather. No surprise here, right? My region experienced a cold, wet spring, and it really set everything back about 2 weeks. And if you recall from part one of the Tomato Primer podcast, tomatoes are very temperamental. They need conditions to be just right to pollinate and set fruit. The optimal temperature for pollination is between 70 and 85 degrees. And in my region, we saw temperatures well below that threshold into July, causing a lot of blossom drop and late pollination in many tomato plants. Second, it takes 6 to 8 weeks from the time of pollination until that tomato fruit reaches its full maturity, meaning that the tomato fruit is fully developed but not ripe. This is known as the mature green stage. Of course, timing on this can vary depending on the weather and the type of tomato that you're growing. If you had a late start to summer, like my area did, that can be one reason for those green tomatoes. But there's another reason too. And guess what? It's also related to the weather. Not only do tomatoes have an optimal temperature range for pollination, they also have an optimum temperature range for ripening. Ripening and color development in tomatoes is caused by two factors: temperature and the presence of the naturally occurring hormone ethylene. The optimal temperature for ripening mature green tomatoes is between 68 and 77 degrees. The further that temperature moves in either direction from that optimum, the slower the process will be. In addition, when temperatures are consistently over 85 degrees, the production of lycopene and carotene, which are the pigments that give tomatoes their color, stops. This causes the fruit to remain in a mature green stage until conditions become more favorable. The bottom line here is that extended periods of extreme heat can significantly slow down or even stop the ripening process. Let that sink in a minute. All that hot, sunny weather isn't helping your fruit to ripen. In my region this summer, we've had temperatures in the 90s for more than 25 days. In addition to the late start, the heat has added a double whammy on the ripening process, and that's why the tomatoes are still green. Now, thankfully, temperatures in my area are cooling, and hopefully many of these greenies are going to ripen. Oh, tomatoes, how we love you, but we have once again confirmed that you truly are the prima donna of the garden. Before we cover what fruits and vegetables can ripen on and off the vine, I want to cover a few basics about ripening in general. First, it's important to understand the difference between a mature fruit and a ripe one. And just so we're clear, when I say fruit, I'm referring to the plant's output, be that a true fruit like an apple or a vegetable like a cucumber. A mature fruit is one that has completed its physiological development and is now capable of ripening. Essentially, it's grown to its full size, no matter how big or small that actually is. A few minutes ago, I mentioned the mature green tomato when talking about the optimal temperature for tomato ripening. At this stage, the tomato is fully mature and has stopped growing. If the conditions are just right, it will begin to produce ethylene, lycopene, and carotene, and that ripening process will begin to get underway. Fruits and vegetables also fall into two categories that define their ripening behavior. These categories are known as climacteric and non-climacteric. Climacteric fruits will ripen on or off the vine, meaning they will continue to ripen after they're picked. These fruits produce higher levels of the ripening hormone ethylene, and it's a dominant factor in the ripening process. Tomatoes, hot chili peppers, and many common fruits like bananas, apples, peaches, and apricots are all climacteric and will continue to ripen after they're harvested. Now, non-climacteric fruits are those that will only ripen on the plant. These won't ripen any further once they're picked. While these fruits and vegetables do produce ethylene, they're not as dependent on the presence of ethylene for the ripening process. And once harvested, the sugar content in these fruits just won't increase. Vegetables and fruits in this category include cucumber, eggplant, and bell peppers. Note that chili peppers will ripen off the vine, but bell peppers don't. Think about this for a minute. Otherwise, we wouldn't have green peppers in the grocery store. They'd all be red, yellow, orange, or purple. Others that won't ripen after picking include squashes, both summer and winter, although winter squash will sweeten a little bit, and also all citrus fruits, strawberries, and watermelon. It's really important to harvest these vegetables and fruits at exactly the right time to get the best flavor. In some cases, these may soften after picking, but really, they're just turning into compost on the counter. Their flavor just is not going to improve. Of course, in nature, not all is black and white, and there are exceptions, especially when it comes to melons and squash. And then there are avocados. They don't fit in either category. They only ripen after they're picked. To help you sort this out, I've included a link in the show notes that lists what vegetables will and won't ripen off the vine. So make sure you check that out. Now, on to the tactics of ripening. First, let's start with the how-tos to get vegetables, both climacteric and non-climacteric, to ripen on the vine. If your vegetable garden is anything like mine, you have lots of green tomatoes and other immature vegetables, and you're wondering how these all might ripen before the frost. Well, in addition to praying for a long, warm fall, there are a few things you can do that will help speed up that ripening process. First, here's an easy one. If you're growing root crops, vegetables like beets and carrots, there's no need for concern. These love cooler temperatures and can even survive a light frost. Just pull them up as you need them throughout the fall. There isn't anything special to do. Now, if you plan to overwinter your carrots, you'll need to place a thick layer of mulch on top of them by the end of this month or so, and then you can dig them as needed throughout the winter. For warm season crops like tomatoes, peppers, eggplant, and cucumbers, a little coaxing is needed to help them ripen their fruit. Well, it's actually stressing the plant, but the end result is still the same. The goal of an annual plant, and that's a plant that only lives for one season, is to produce seed. Viable seed comes from ripe fruit. So let's help our plants achieve their goals. One of the first things you can do is to top the plant. This simply means pruning off the growing tops and removing any blossoms and tiny fruit clusters that have no chance in HE double hockey sticks of ripening this season. Beyond the obvious of removing those blossoms, topping signals the plant to put its energy into ripening that remaining fruit. Next is to slow way down on watering. Now, you don't want to completely wilt your plants, but you do want to cause some stress here. Again, sending a signal to that plant to start ripening up that fruit. And finally, you can sever the plant roots. A drastic measure for sure, but it is very effective. Take a garden spade and cut straight down on one side of the plant only. Now, this is a major stressor, and it should get things moving right along. Topping and reducing watering can be done any time in the late summer. In fact, some people start this process in mid-August. But I'd save cutting roots until a little bit later, towards the end of summer. Now, another option for smaller warm season crops is to use a floating row cover or to create a low tunnel that goes over the plants. A floating row cover can increase nighttime temperatures by as much as 4 degrees. Okay, I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but it can make a big difference in getting vegetables to ripen, especially those that won't ripen off the vine. And a low tunnel is easy to make from PVC pipe and 6mm plastic. It's a great way to get those veggies to ripen and extend your growing season, and that's a bonus. Once the summer crops are done, you can plant cool season crops like spinach and kale that'll overwinter until spring. Trust me, it really does work. And I've put a link into the show notes for a how-to on making a low tunnel. Okay, that's a few ways to get your plants to kick into the ripening mode. Now here's a few tips for getting those climacteric vegetables to ripen off the vine. And you'll recall, there aren't very many, primarily tomatoes and chili or hot peppers. With a pending frost or any inclement weather, like hail or excessive rain, that can cause serious damage to the fruit, you'll want to pick tomatoes and chili peppers that are showing some coloring or have at least reached the mature green stage. These are usually the largest fruits and may have some tinge of color showing already. For tomatoes, that can be a lighter green to a creamy white or even a pale pink. Peppers will generally show some reddening or color change as well. Any fruit that is immature or obviously is in the early growth stages will never ripen and should just be composted. Tomatoes and peppers can be placed on the kitchen counter out of direct sunlight. That's very important. And the naturally occurring ethylene in the fruit will ripen it. This works best on tomatoes that are showing some coloring, as they are actually the ones producing more ethylene. The counter method can take anywhere from a few days to up to 2 weeks, depending on the temperature and how much coloring the fruit had to start with. Now, a second method is to place your mature green tomatoes and peppers in a single layer in a breathable paper or cotton bag with a piece of apple peel or a ripe banana, and then close up that bag. Apples and bananas give off a great amount of ethylene gas, and this really helps speed up that natural ripening process. This works especially well for those mature green tomatoes that aren't producing significant amounts of ethylene to ripen. Check the progress on a daily basis and remove any spoiled fruit, including the banana or apple peel, and you can refresh that. It will generally take about 3 to 5 days for that fruit to ripen. Now, On to harvesting. It goes without saying that vegetables should be harvested at their peak ripeness. But sometimes, it's not easy to determine exactly when that is. One question I get often is how to tell when a green tomato is ripe. As you know, tomato cultivars come in a variety of colors, including green. So how do you know when these green tomatoes are actually ripe? Well, there are a couple of ways. The first is to look at the color. Most green tomatoes will show some sign of coloring. The cultivar Green Zebra goes from a light green with white stripes to a lime green with yellow stripes. And many green varieties will turn an olive green when they're ripe, and they'll also show that blushing of red, orange, or yellow. You can also go by feel with the gentle squeeze test. Immature fruit will be hard, very hard, but ripening fruit will yield to slight pressure. You can also look at the size. If the fruit is close to its mature size and you see some color and it's not rock hard, it's probably ripening. Finally, there's the sacrificial taste test. Pick it and taste it. It should be flavorful, not bland or mealy. When I first started growing green tomatoes, I did all these things to get it figured out. But to help you, I've put a link in the show notes with a few photos of what ripe green cultivar tomatoes look like. And now on to harvesting. When it comes time to harvest, handle your produce with loving hands. I find it useful to use garden snips or a scissor to remove the vegetable from the plant. It's just easier than twisting or pulling, which can damage or bruise them. The less you handle your vegetables, the longer they will last in storage. And it also goes without saying to only harvest vegetables of the highest quality. Produce that is split or rotted won't keep very long and can spread disease to other stored vegetables. If there's soil or other debris on the vegetable, gently brush it off. A quick rinse with water can help, but make sure to dry the produce completely before storing it. Some vegetables, like cucumbers, peppers, and tomatoes, require a cool 55 degrees and some humidity for proper storage. Now, think about that. That can be a challenge, as our refrigerators are colder than 55, and our homes are generally warmer than 55. The best solution is to harvest and consume your produce as quickly as possible, be that eating it fresh or preserving it. Here are a few harvest and storing tips for some common garden vegetables. Cucumbers. These guys should be picked when they're bright green or their designated color, as cucumbers these days don't always just come in green. Store them in a cool area. It's also possible to keep these in the fridge for a few days, but if they're stored below 40 degrees, they can become water-soaked and pitted, and that's just gross. Their shelf life is about a week, so eat them up or get them pickled. Eggplant should be harvested while the fruit's color is shiny and bright. A dull color and softness means the eggplant is overmature and it's past its peak. Like cucumbers, it should be stored at 55 degrees, and it can be stored in the fridge just for a few days. Eggplant will pit, go bronze in color, and the interior will be brown and mushy if it's stored for longer periods below 50 degrees. It has a shelf life of about a week. Zucchini and summer squash. This should be picked when they're small. Yeah, right, that's what everybody says. The optimum size is 6 to 8 inches with a tender skin. No one wants to eat a baseball bat-sized zucchini. The key here is to harvest frequently, but the more you harvest summer squash, the more it will produce. So make sure you have lots of friends who are willing to take those extras off your hand. Store summer squash in a cool location, again, 55 degrees, and don't store it in the fridge for longer than 4 days. It has a shelf life of about a week as well. Now, winter squash should be harvested before frost, and the rind needs to be hard and difficult to puncture with your fingernail. These should be stored in a cool, dry location and will last anywhere from 2 to 6 months, depending on that variety. Bell peppers should be harvested when the fruits reach that desired color and size for the variety. These should be stored in a cool location and will keep in the fridge for a few days. If they're stored below 45 degrees, though, they will develop that pitting. Peppers generally have a shelf life of about 2 weeks. And finally, tomatoes. They should be harvested when they reach their designated color. As I mentioned, you can pick tomatoes as they begin to ripen and finish them off the vine. They should be stored in a cool location, out of direct sunlight, and never stored in the refrigerator. Their expected shelf life is about 5 days, but it's much shorter in my house. The summer season is winding down, and the cornucopia of garden goodies is coming to the table. I hope your summer gardening season was a success, and your harvest is bountiful. Well, that's it for this episode of Gardening in the Coop. Thanks for listening. If you want more helpful gardening tips and information, be sure to check out thecoeurdelainecoop.com or visit us on Facebook and Instagram at The Coeur d'Alene Coop. I hope you'll tune in next time, and if you like what you hear, click on the subscribe button below. Until then, remember, life's a garden. Dig it.
Thanks for listening to Gardening at the Coop, the podcast all about growing your best garden. For more gardening information, visit us online at thecoeurdelainecoop.com or on Facebook and Instagram.